Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watcher Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune in to Baby, This is Keke Palmer. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker, and joining me today for this Roni season finale recap, it's Ronnie Karam. Hi, Ronnie. How's it going?
Hi. Just can't wait to talk about this hilarious season finale.
I know. It's so nice to have something uplifting and refreshing. Before we get into that, we're excited because in just like 2 days, we are going up to San Francisco. This Friday night, we have our first show on the Mounting Hysteria Tour. So come join us in San Francisco. The very next day, we go to San Diego for our second show. And we're doing something really fun, which is we are going to do the Salt Lake City reunion. We're recapping that across both shows. The first half will be in San Francisco, NorCal, then SoCal. So we know that. Reunion's gonna have enough content to cover two shows, so buckle up, everyone. Next week, it's the Golden Crappies. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. There's only like 70 tickets left in the theater, so if you're in New York, you want to go see it, get your tickets. If you are not in New York or you're just anywhere in the world, you can stream it with Kizwe. So the streaming tickets, you can get everything. Everything we're talking about, go to watchwhatcrappens.com. It's going to be a really wonderful show. Really excited for it. We're working on some fun stuff. I'm nervous as fuck, but it's going to be a great time. And then after that, the tour just continues. Plus, we're on Patreon. We're doing our traders recaps on Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. We also do video there. You can watch us, not just listen. Bonus episodes, which is traders, all the good stuff. And that's basically what's going on here in the world of Watch What Crappens. It's a very hectic, crazy next week and a half. And there will be some surprises next week. Look out for us, maybe on TV. Who knows? But it'll be fun. Good big week coming up next week.
When are we allowed to say that?
I'm just saying we're on TV. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything else.
I think we're allowed to say it at some point. I don't know when. Okay, everybody. Thank you. Yes, it's 2020. Yes, you guessed it. I heard you in your car guess.
We're going on.
You are correct.
I'm Barbara Walters, and that's Hugh Downs. We are resurrecting the ghosts of
bringing them back, guys. We told you there was going to be some surprises. Okay, so Real Housewives of New York City. Wow, definitely the most compelling episode they've ever put forth. Holy God. I was texting Ben during this saying, redemption.
I wasn't sure.
Only because last week we got a little heat. I mean, I'm not going to say, listen, everybody has a right to their opinion, obviously, but we got a little heat for standing up for Uba so much. And this week I was like, redemption, like, thank God, because wow, what an episode. What a fucking psycho. This was amazing to me because not Uba, Bryn. This was amazing to me because a couple things. One, it was like a mystery show where you watch a mystery. You know how those mysteries work now, where you watch 10 episodes and they dilly-dally around until the 10th episode, and then they reveal them. Everybody figures out the mystery, and it's amazing, and that's what makes those shows amazing. And this gave us that. I was really impressed that New York gave me anything, but I was like, whoa, they all solved a mystery. I mean, I loved that. I loved it. There, I said it. I loved it. I mean, it was dark as hell and depressing and wrong. The whole episode was wrong, but I was like, wow, that's the most compelling thing they've ever done.
I mean, yeah, for this cast, for sure. I mean, this I felt like was probably one of the darkest episodes that's aired in any Real Housewives. I was like, I cannot believe this. This is wild. And there was like a lot of things going on in this episode, a lot of layers to it, that layers that I'm like not even sure how to navigate through as a recapper. But, you know, we'll stumble through it.
You just hit the gas, baby. You hit the gas.
Yeah.
Hit the gas and edit later.
Very, very meta. Like, and by the way, the show finally gave me what I've wanted from this cast for 2 years ago, which is at last a high camp moment, which is at the very end of the show when they're all doing their main credits and they're like standing and posing for the cameras, and they use that as their like season wrap-ups. And the way they would like freeze the screen, it was like a profile and stylized, and the music was so intense. I was like, finally, camp. Why did it take them so long to add some camp to this gosh darn cast?
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. That whole sequence was really good. And, you know, also the parallels to old Roni, you know, and most of the time I try not to say, oh my God, old Roni. I don't compare them. They're not even the same. I mean, they're in the same city, whatever. So I try not to compare them, but, you know, old Roni was basically canceled because of problematic race issues and people just being so fucking problematic. And granted, that was Ramona and to a lesser degree, Sonia, but still pretty problematic. And then this one, I don't think it'll be canceled, but it's interesting that they ran into the same wall in a way. I mean, it's not the exact same wall, obviously, but there are definitely parallels that I was like, wow, what the hell? And the characters are totally different. But for it to come to a head like that in both of the versions of the show, I thought was pretty cray cray.
Yeah, this one, all season long, they tease like, nothing will ever be the same. Oh, this big fight that happened in Puerto Rico, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay, whatever. I was like, I expected the whole thing was going to be about, you know, someone hid someone's purse or something. And then I was like, oh, no, they were right. Nothing will be the same. And this is fucked up. And I don't even know how this cast goes forward with Brynn. I just don't know. I don't know how Bravo goes forward with Brynn. I think that's like, it's pretty much like bottom of the, I don't want to say it's just, it's, I'm not gonna say bottom of the barrel. I'm just gonna say it was really, really, really troubling, I thought. And I think that like Brynn is someone who has like, she carries a lot of baggage. And I think we really saw that. And we've always seen it, but we really saw it this on this episode. It was a lot.
Yeah. It was a lot. So where we ended up last time was, you know, Uba's having a fit, basically. And she's having a fit because these two keep poking. And she's breaking down all over the place. And so now Aaron and Brynn are in a bedroom. And Aaron's saying, never again. She screamed in my face. Like, I said, don't ever call her a whore and don't ever fucking talk to her like that again. And then she slammed the door in my face. You walked into a room while she was fucking naked, Aaron. You know, fucking Aaron. I can't. And out of all the people who pissed me off, Aaron probably pissed me off the most because Aaron keeps getting away with it. Like, why are we going to call out Brynn when Aaron, literally Brynn went too far. I'm not saying we shouldn't call out Brynn, but why is it that Aaron can get right up to that point and nobody says anything? How is Aaron still getting out of here scot-free? Makes me crazy.
She is slippery. And so Brynn's like, that one's fucked up. And Aaron is like, and this is like a whole new fucked up thing we have to deal with. So Sai comes walking down the hallway and she's like, Jessel, come on through. So Jessel and Sai sit down, and because they're going to confront Aaron about the fact that Aaron, oh God, sometimes it's so hard to speak the plots in this show. So Aaron told Jessel that Aaron, Sai, and Brynn were sitting together, and Sai and Brynn were talking shit about Jessel, but Aaron wasn't talking shit about Jessel. That's what Aaron told Jessel. So then Jessel told Sai, oh, Aaron said that you two were talking shit, but she wasn't talking shit. And Sai said, no, she was talking shit. So now Sai and Aaron and Jessel are gonna sit down and talk about whether or not Aaron was talking shit when she was talking with Sai and Brynn. And of course, we know she was talking shit. Like, how are we even supposed to follow this thread? And this is what the whole season's been like.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, just to boil it down for you, Aaron started some shit to make some drama, and now she's going to fucking cry like she's a victim of said shit that she started. And she started the shit and then ran and tattletailed on the other people that she started shit with because they weren't starting shit fast enough for her. And she's still going to get away with it. So she goes in and, you know, Sai's kind of onto it. She's like, well, Aaron likes to leave out a piece of the puzzle that she's involved in, because if she puts that piece of the puzzle into the story, then she's guilty. That's how stories work. It's not an elephant till that last little piece makes the end of the trunk. And, you know, she's right, but they're still so easily swayed. So Sai's just like, what did you say? So Aaron's like, well, she's saying that Sai told her that I was talking all this shit about her. And Jess is like, no, I said, she was like, who told you? And I said, Sai. And Aaron's like, shut up, Jessel. Also, Aaron's so mean to Jessel. Like, what's wrong with you,
so
Aaron?
Mean.
You're mean to the most liked person on this cast. Like, you're not only lame at this, you're stupid. You're fucking stupid.
And by the way, Jessel winds up being kind of the hero of the episode. So yes. It just goes to show. So
redemption for her, too. You know, because it wasn't just 3 weeks ago that I was like, no, not main character energy. I'm sorry. Like Ben was saying, she should be the main character. They should just build around her. And I was like, nope, she doesn't have. She doesn't got it. But
she does. Totally, it's just that, like, she's been crowded out by Aaron and Bryn. I mean, I really started to. You know, we've been like, Bryn was very annoying last season in my book with a few moments of being compelling. And then sort of the same story this season, but really over the past few weeks, I've started to really home in on the idea that I think that Bryn is kind of responsible for why so much of the season doesn't work. I think she is the bad apple ruining the bunch here. And you know, you can make an argument for Aaron too, but I think it really is Bryn. And I actually think that this episode kind of bears that out, to be honest. So why am I going on a monologue?
Well, they both do the same thing. They take one little thing and then they twist it and basically lie and tell everybody something else that has like a kernel of truth. So if they're ever called, they can be like, but I did tell the truth. They both do the exact same thing. Bryn just went a step further today in what she was saying. And she got caught to the point where Aaron was like, I'm not going to be on her team anymore. Like, there's no coming back for this. But Aaron still does it too, all the time. The exact same thing.
Yeah. So Jenna, Rebecca, and Raquel are in the hallway. And Jenna's like, wait, Sai. Jessel and Aaron and Bryn, they're like a little twister. And Rebecca's like, based on something that happened yesterday, like literally if there's more drama, I am going to have diarrhea all over this floor.
Jenna's like, well, Rebecca, are you having trouble with that doorknob? I'm just squinting so hard right now that I can't see the door. Can someone help me through?
I'm trying to use my squint SP to move the door.
So then we go back to the bedroom with the other conversation, and Aaron's like, whoa, Jessel, so why are you trying to go to Sai now like a little creep and be like, oh, Aaron's saying blah, blah, blah. I said maybe your husband should apologize for calling her a fucking bitch and calling her bipolar. That's what I said. No, that's not all you said, you fucking liar. And second of all, no man should be calling a woman a bitch. So yes, Poffett should apologize for calling her a bitch. Now, calling her bipolar and everything else, I know it's not nice to like use people's mental stuff against them. He doesn't know if you're bipolar or not. He was just saying some random thing because you were acting crazy. And you were calling him a sex tourist for how long and insinuating trying to break up their marriage and everything else. And I know you've had a great year, Sai, but please give me a fucking break with the victim act. That shit's not going to work here. You started it, ma'am.
Yeah, I do think that Poffett owes an apology for saying bitch and bipolar, but like, we have totally forgotten this. And I had totally forgotten until really Jessel brought it up. And because Jessel's like, hello, I mean, you said that my husband is a sex trafficker. And like, that's not nothing. Also, you're going on TV and implying that he's going to Vietnam to like
fuck underage people or whatever.
Yeah, it's like, that's very career damaging as well. Yeah. So you guys both need to sit down and say, it was the heat of the moment. We got carried away and I actually really do like you, blah, blah, blah. Do the whole thing and go to Susan's Bun afterwards and like enjoy a bowl of noodles.
Yeah. So Aaron's telling us, yeah, that was a low blow. And if Poffett wanted to insult Sai, he should have gone with something like, she acts like a baby when she's hungry, or she dresses like a small boy. Well, he's not as bad at his confessionals as you are.
like I mean, this is is this, please tell me this is not how you got cast on the show, because this does not,
I would really like to see that audition tape. Like, what was she doing sorting the glass out of the recycling bin? Like, give me a fucking break. Who cast this person?
Yeah, everyone knows if you're gonna shade someone, you say she dresses like a small boy.
So now Sai, who has been so pissed at Poffett that we've had full clip packages of her ignoring Poffett, is like, well, he's seen me at your party, he stood right next to me, he didn't even say hello. So now you want him to say hello? Make up your fucking mind.
And so we see that. And Jessel's like, well, I have told him 1,000 times, please say hi to Cy. And then I also say, please, let's do therapy. And also, let's send our kids to the school that Tom Cruise's kids are in. And also, can we have more kids? Basically, he doesn't listen to me when I ask him questions. It's just the way it is with Parvit. You have to dress up literally like a piece of fried chicken and dance around until he wants to take a photo of you and put you on his Instagram. That's the only way to get through to him.
If you want him to say hi, you have to dress like a bon me. So everyone's like, it's not about saying hi, honey. It's about saying sorry. Okay, try it. Try it once. You try it. Not you, Ben.
This is where Jessel says, and by the way, Jessel saying this while she's dressed with her like little hat and her collar and her like mesh top. She looks like, you know, a cute little kind of like modern Clueless, you know, it's her callback to her party. And
or
I know
Katie
this is a
Maloney.
Look. Or Katie Maloney. That shirt has been making its rounds on Bravo. But she has the little hat, though. That's what differentiates it.
Yeah.
So true. She has her little hat. Like, she's like, XOXO Gossip Girl. And she's like, may I just say, Cy was implying that Parvit is a sex tourist. Shouldn't that cancel out? And I'm like,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not a bad point. So then we see a clip of Cy, you know, being like, he's going to Vietnam for 24 hours. That's enough time to get into trouble. Yeah, but you can get like illicit sex right in New York City. It's not like you guys live out in the boondocks. A man wouldn't have to jump on a plane to get into trouble.
Yeah.
So Cy's like, well, I just know it was very offensive and I'm over and I just wanted to keep my distance and that's it. And so Jessel's like, well, I didn't realize you were offended. Honestly, am I supposed to know? And it's like, it was so rough for someone to call me bipolar. Because she's dealt with bipolar people her whole life. And
yeah.
This is the thing. Like, you can't, you just need to, what, you can't but tiptoe around everybody's issues every time you want to insult somebody. That's what makes this show so difficult. Is you say one thing and they all put on a victim cloak of why you can't say that to them. And now you're a horrible person. And that's another thing that was good about this episode is Uba punched right through that fucking victim cloak. And she was like, no, ma'am. Even with what she found out, she was like, oh, hell no. Take that cloak off.
Bryn put on the biggest and thickest one. And Uba was like, nope. And it feels weird. It feels weird to even say it. Based on what Bryn was saying, it feels weird to even almost be callous to be like, she put on a victim cloak. But like, I think that's why everyone is actually so upset in this
yes, episode. Yes, it is. It I don't mean it in like, a smart ass way of like,
no,
oh.
I know.
Like, it's that's like a legit she really, thing, but she used it. She wielded it as a weapon, you know?
Yeah, it was really bad. So then Cy is like, this is a really hard moment for me. And, you know, I'm just in therapy right now. And I've gone to a place with Jessel that I'm like really happy with. And I don't feel the same about her husband. That's it. So Bryn is like, Cy is like so tough and like such a bitch. But like, dude, she has feelings too.
And Jessel's like, your feelings are completely valid, completely valid. And she's like, all good. So they hug and they make up. And then Bryn's like, oh my God, can we do one together? I need a group hug. Like, fuck husbands. They suck so bad. They're so stupid. You guys, my whole brand is men suck. Since when is that your whole brand? You're basically a parking ticket only for men waiting for validation. Like, just waiting for that fucking snap. Since when is your men suck your motto?
So Aaron's like, well, I just want this night to get better. LOL. Spoiler alert, it's not. Now that things have kind of calmed, maybe there's a chance. I'm like, I'm just glad on this episode they didn't try to do 2 truths and a lie or never have I ever. Because that's like, that just would have made this even worse.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Hey, y'all. It's your girl, Keke Palmer. And let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. You know how everyone's all about new year, new me. Well, on Baby, This is Keke Palmer, we're taking it to a whole other level. We're talking new year, new perspectives. And honey, it's going to change your life. I sat down with astrology queen, Chani Nicholas. Y'all, if you want to understand yourself better this year, this episode is it. And then there's my chat with the incredible Da Vinci, where nothing was off the table. If you're looking to level up your mindset this year, his words are definitely going to hit different. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset, energy, you've got to tune into Baby, This Is Keke Palmer. Catch it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for the full experience, head to my YouTube channel. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app. Let's make this year our best one yet, baby. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, Keke Palmer, and let me tell you, we're kicking off this new year with a whole new mindset. You know how everyone's all about new year, new me? Well, on Baby, This Is Keke Palmer, we're taking it to a whole other level. We're talking new year, new perspectives. And honey, it's going to change your life. I sat down with astrology queen, Chani Nicholas. Y'all, if you want to understand yourself better this year, this episode is it. And then there's my chat with the incredible Da Vinci, where nothing was off the table. If you're looking to level up your mindset this year, his words are definitely going to hit different. If you're ready for that new year, new mindset energy, you've got to tune into Baby, This Is Keke Palmer. Catch it on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. And for the full experience, head to my YouTube channel. If you're looking for more podcasts to help you tend to your well-being, check out New Year, New Mindset on the Wondery app. Let's make this year our best one yet, baby.
So they're going to have a drink and everything, and Jenna and Rebecca and Raquel go into Jenna's room, and Jenna's like, yeah, we can go into like our room. It's like not a party until everyone's involved. Let's hang out in my room. It'll be like a slumber party. It'll be so fun. Like nothing could possibly go wrong this night. I think we kind of peaked with our drama, so it's going to be all great.
Yeah, surely everything's going to be great now. So they gather in there, and Jenna's like, Aaron, what the fuck is happening? Because I was going to check on Bryn, and then I get up, and then you guys are talking, and I mean, I just don't know. Have I mentioned that I was entered into synchronized swimming in the sixth grade? It was, I can't believe I just, did I just admit that?
I think we had a breakthrough. In that I'm declaring it, even though there's no tangible evidence that there was anything even approaching a breakthrough or an epiphany or any sort of understanding about anything. I just made a gag face when Jessel accused me of talking shit about her, and then we're done.
Yeah, and Raquel's like, and everything with respect to Bryn and Uba's good? And she's like, listen, I love Uba, but we cannot keep calling Bryn a whore. Nobody called Bryn a whore. Just a reminder to the audience out there. Literally nobody called Bryn a whore. And Raquel's like, yeah, or say that she's giving blowjobs for work, which also wasn't said. And Aaron's like, well, that's a soft subject for her, you guys. No pun intended.
No, I'm like, can we just use our word? If you're a good defender on this point, can we use better words? She's like, I would like to erect an objection about this.
You guys seem to have a hard on for Bryn. So Jenna's
this point
like,
is
no.
Very flaccid.
And Jenna's like, if the problem is if you try to jump in, then Uba's mad and she's like, it's none of your business, has nothing to do with you. And literally when we were all at your house, she had it out with Bryn and then she wouldn't let any of us speak. And then we get a clip of that, of people going, can I speak? And her going, no, don't speak. But you guys keep trying to jump in to defend Bryn, who's a fucking monster and who is coming for her constantly.
I loved this montage of Uba being like, be quiet. Can I say something? No. Be quiet. I need you to, no, I need you to understand. But can I just say something? No, you say nothing. I'm like, yes. Thank you. Thank you, Uba. Not only is it well-deserved, but it's also really funny. And Rebecca being like, may I make just a suggestion? No. Rebecca Minkoff.
Don't say anything. So Jenna's like, but actually, I'm like a grown woman and I'm not going to get like a slap if I'm trying to talk. And then Jessel laughs. Oh, you all grown woman. And so they joke about her baby voice and stuff.
Which I didn't know was a thing. I didn't notice that Jenna had a baby voice. So Jessel is basically like, well, I think we should wait until Uba is in the room before we talk about her. So then Uba comes in and she's like, hello, darling.
Yeah. Uba just comes in trying to reset again, which never works. But she's like, maybe if I just come in happy in the scene, it'll all work out, you know? So she's like, hello, darling. What are you doing? Is everything okay? What's happening? Why is everybody here? And Jenna's like, oh, you know, just hanging out. And so Raquel says they need to discuss things. And Uba's like, why are you combing the couch? I thought it was the dog. I'm sorry. I'm very stressed out. My squint just won't open.
Her squint latched close.
She's stressed.
It's like when your garage right door breaks.
She's like,
it's like, I need to call a professional right now. can't get it open. So Uba's like, what did I do? And Sai's like, well, you can't keep calling her a whore, baby. And she's like, I did not call her a whore. And Sai's like, well, you said that she sucked dick. I swear to Allah, I did not. She goes, no, you said she needs a dick in her mouth. She's like, no, she said that. And do you want me to have a dick in my mouth? Rewind the fucking tape. Just listen. And so now we see the clip where Uba says, go take a nap. And Bryn's like, oh, should I suck a dick while I take a nap? Which
and Uba says, that might help you shut up. So Uba did not tell her to suck a dick. Okay.
Yes. Just, and she had a funny retort, I would even add.
Yeah. And she's like, please, can we remember things? Because this cast will not. Like, this cast will literally believe the last thing that was told to them, you know, 100%. Mm-hmm. So now Bryn comes in and Uba's telling us, I don't have to hurt people for me to feel better because I'm better already. I wake up in the morning as Uba Hassan, darling. Look at me.
And which I love, like Uba's gotten the memo about being a real housewife. So Uba's like, I didn't tell you have a dick in your mouth. You said, do you want me to put a dick in my mouth? Bryn goes, it was sarcasm because I was like repeating the horrible thing you said to me yesterday.
Right. But she didn't say that to you yesterday. So Uba's like, I didn't. It's horrible. I said maybe. And Bryn's like, and you don't think it's horrible to say to me? Maybe you put a dick in your mouth to get a job? Well, she didn't say. And she's like, no, I said maybe you slept with someone to get a job. I did not say a dick. And she's like, oh, maybe then, right? Oh, much different.
Yeah, Uba was like, you know, we see a flashback again of what Uba said, which is, so unless maybe she slept with someone to get this job, that's a different story. So, I mean, yeah, technically she didn't like slut shit. Like, technically she didn't say you slept with someone, but like, obviously she's implying it. Obviously, it's also shade in the middle of an argument. And Bryn has definitely latched onto this, maybe for good reason, because she does have trauma in her past. But I don't know. This is definitely a case in my mind where Bryn has no problem casting stones. But then when one comes back to bounce her in the head, as inappropriate as it is, she is acting like she's never been one to say such a shady comment or a shady implication. I mean, she makes implications all the time about people, you know, like about people and the way they live their lives. And when it comes around to her, even if it is disrespectful, she's, I don't know, I just feel
well,
like
she also spent the first part of the season or the middle part of the season, whatever it was, it's all blurry to me now, but she also spent a good part of the season trying to convince everybody that Rebecca was fucking other men and got pregnant by some other random dude, which she later lied about and claimed that she was part of this inside joke, but she wasn't. So don't come at me with your slut shaming crying, because you've been doing it to other people nonstop, so shut up. So Jenna, Aaron's like, same connotation. It's not okay and it's uncalled for. Okay, lady who is accusing some guy of sex tourism and then trying to break up a marriage and then everything else that you've done this year. Be quiet, you too. So then Jenna's like, you know, I mean, they both said shit to each other, but it's just semantics now. And it's not really about the issue at hand, which I don't really. What is the issue at hand?
The issue is that I cannot unsquint myself and I really need some medical attention. Quiet, Rebecca.
So
Aaron, I slept with somebody to get a job. And Uba's like, I didn't say it. And Aaron's trying to smooth it over, going, Uba, just say you love her. And Bryn's like, no, this is not your fight, Aaron. Who she just yelled at for not standing up for her enough. But okay.
So funny. Yes, you're right.
Bryn's just like chaos. She's like a chaos. She's a chaotic hypocrisy tornado. Like, she's just like keeping up with her is crazy. So she's like, when in my life, tell me, does my LinkedIn say it? No, I want to hear it. Tell me, Uba, tell me this. I fucking love it. And she's like, of course you do, you narcissistic bitch. And Bryn's like,
when did I do anything aside from work my ass off? I'm a marketer, PR.
And she's like, marketing my ass.
Oh, really? You're not Naomi. You modeled for Dress Barn.
And everyone's like, oh, that's not nice, Bryn. By the way, if you can model for Dress Barn, if you can model for the Penny Saver, for crying out loud, that's like a paying gig as a model. That's, you're fortunate. So I don't think there's any shade in modeling for Dress Barn whatsoever.
But yeah, I mean, she didn't. I don't think she did. I think she was like a really successful model. Yeah, she was actually a really successful model. So Raquel's like, well, there's nothing nice about someone saying that someone slept with someone to get a job. And Sai's like, it's both not nice. Both not nice. I like that Sai's having a snack on the couch. She's just like, both not nice.
Of course. Raquel's like, there's nothing nice about someone saying that someone slept with someone to get a job.
Not nice. Not nice. Brynn's like, it's delusion. It's delusion to think that I have fucking slept with men to get a job. It's delusion to think that you're Naomi Campbell. You're delusional.
And I'm like, please, please, producers, you don't have much time left in the season. Please, if you're given the chance, please roll the clip of Naomi Wish, Giselle Wish, because that's like my favorite line of the season.
That's the best clip of the entire season. Naomi Wish, Giselle Wish.
That would have been a quote of the year nominee if it had come out a little bit sooner.
Yeah.
The crappies.
And Hoover goes, pee piece of shit. Because she's not buying this horse shit. Just like the rest of us. So Aaron's like, don't go there, guys. And Brynn's like, I don't know. We're dealing with a petulant toddler. She's a 6 foot fucking toddler.
Well, isn't that what you want? So Brynn is like, yeah, she's like, so you all think I like fuck delivering money? And I was like, no one thinks that. We just think you're annoying. But no one thinks you fuck dudes for money. And she's like, you want to sell my network? You want me to show your network? They're like, no, no, it's fine. She's like, you don't want to go there with me. And they're like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I have net worth. I have pay stubs. I have fucking portfolios. I get proof for years. I didn't suck up anybody.
And Aaron's like, you're making yourself sound crazy. Just stop. And Raquel's like, yeah, you're both making yourself sound crazy. And she goes, oh, now because she's talking about my fucking character. And Aaron's like, Brynn, we're defending you. Because Brynn is really spinning out at this point. She's standing up. She's drunk off her ass. And she's just freaking out, you know. And so Raquel finally just grabs her and does a hug, like the Tamara and the Shannon and Tamara hug in the van, where it's just like a real tight hug. And she's like, you know, Brynn is talking about how hard it is for a woman of color, an attractive woman, to be taken seriously and not be thought of as a whore. Yeah, but what did she just do to Uba literally 2 seconds ago? And that's kind of my problem with Brynn and why I can never feel anything for her, because she's just such a fucking hypocrite. Why is it okay for you to go on about how hard you've worked while you're totally discrediting a black woman who has worked her ass off, and an immigrant to boot, and an, you know, a non-white passing black woman? You know,
yeah, there's
and
a
that's
lot
another
of
whole layer of problematic shit that's here. Is Brynn is a white passing black woman, and she's coming for this like black immigrant woman and disparaging her career and coming after how she talks, mocking how she talks, calling her an angry black woman. It's fucked up.
A lot of people on social media are talking about like the colorism at play here and how Brynn, a lot of people are accusing Brynn of accessing like her blackness when it's convenient, etc. Obviously, I'm a white guy. I'm not part of this community. I cannot speak with authority on this. But from what I can tell on social media, people who are part of the community are really, really angry at Brynn for the things that the exact same things that you're saying. And it's just it's really, really, really problematic that she has this stance. And but she goes on, and while actively disparaging Uba, and you know, and she's saying how it's like really hard. Raquel starts talking about how it's just hard to understand, you know, someone needs to understand. She needs to understand that someone else understands what she's going through. And Aaron's like, you know, well, I just screamed in her face. She's never going to speak to me again. No one thinks it. And Jenna's saying, you know, saying it's really hard to see Brynn struggle. It feels awful. And I think it's unfortunate because she comes from a place where she's so sexually provocative in her language that I think people make assumptions, and that's not fair. And she deserves to be treated with respect and love and care. Well, I mean, yes, everyone should be treated with respect and love and care. And I don't mean to do it everyone deserves it. But like, she does. I mean, I feel very badly for Brynn. I think she's gone. I think she's had a deeply traumatic childhood and life. And as they say later in this episode, like I think she's kind of lost the thread a little bit here. And like, I feel bad that she, her life has led her to this point, because that's like, it's a shame that anyone would have to have a life that leads them to, you know, having to fib all the time and do the things that she does in this episode.
Yeah. I mean, look, your past informs your present for sure, but it doesn't excuse your present, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's fucked up that she's doing this constantly. Constantly. And her whole, like, now she's saying, why can't a black woman make money? Why can't a black woman be successful? I don't know. Why were you just saying it 2 seconds ago to Uba?
Yeah.
So then now Uba walks
And by
in.
The way, it's the thing that she always goes to with Uba as well. Like Uba made this comment about like, I don't know if you slept your way to be got on here, but I got here on the show because of me. But Uba's like go-to is not slut shaming Brynn, but Brynn's go-to is always to shame Uba's work. And not only Uba, like she's actually shames other women's Rebecca's success, work. Like
she's
Rebecca Minkoff.
Always doing that against Rebecca Minkoff, who has like a humongous company. Yeah, she's ridiculous. And also, she was just in the last episode going, I'm kept all night by billionaires calling me, so sorry. Like, that's her other go-to in fights is to brag about how attractive hot rich men think she is. Well, she doesn't say hot, but rich men think she is, and how she has to stay up all night waiting for their calls. So I can't. Sometimes. So then Uba walks in and walks up to Brynn, and Uba goes to Aaron and she's like, 1 second, Aaron. Okay. Because of course, Aaron's trying to get in the middle of it. And so she's like, come here. So they both, Uba and Aaron walk out. So Brynn is still going on, and it was probably smart to get Uba out of there. So Brynn's like, I worked hard. You know, she's still going on about how she doesn't fuck anybody for anything. So then we go to Aaron, Uba, and Sai in another bedroom, and Uba's like, she's plastic, she's fake. And Aaron's like, listen, there's good people on both sides. Quote from one of my heroes.
Uba's like, I never said she had a dick in her mouth. She said that. And Aaron's like, I know, but can you listen to me for a minute? When you start saying things like, I don't know who you fucked to get this job, that's when she goes somewhere else. She goes, well, you want to know why? And she's like, you don't have to say those things, but you want to know why I'm worried? Because yesterday I said in a corner, I was there in a corner minding my business. And we see a flashback again of like Uba was feeling unwell at dinner. And by the way, we've kind of lost this whole thing, but she was due, she talked about over the season, she was due to have fibroid surgery, and she was anxious about her surgery. I mean, it was mentioned on this. She's anxious. She doesn't feel well. She was quiet at dinner, and Brynn started like basically picking on her. And Uba's like, I've had enough. I'm just going to step on this gnat.
And so I was like, you got to stop reacting. Hello. You're still crying over something Pavitt said to you last year. Like, you're literally having a fight today about something that was said last year. So who the fuck is reacting now? And Aaron's like, yeah, you just have to walk away. And Sai's saying, yeah, you know, she makes you say those things in front of everybody. So now everybody's looking at you like you're crazy. And this is true. Look, all this stuff that they're telling her is technically true. Uba flies off the handle and doesn't know how to confront things without flying off the handle. And so she loses her shit and she looks like an idiot. You know, she looks unbalanced. Okay. I think that they're right. And that's good advice to give a friend. But at the same time, I'm so sick of people like Brynn being able to get away with everything just because she makes the other person react. It's not something
why is it like
you react, so you lost. Well, what has she been saying? She's been doing nothing but bullying the woman for the whole year, pretty much.
Especially this trip. And it's also like, okay, they tell Uba, you have to stop reacting. Why don't they tell Brynn, you have to stop speaking, right? Like, you're the one who, like, why are you talking so much shit all the time? You know, because like, you talk Brynn so much shit, eventually someone's going to, like, someone is going to, like, snap back at you, and they may not say something nice because they've taken it and taken it and taken it.
Because so, they can't do it, because the modern rules are the biggest victim wins. So Brynn's in the other room sobbing that she's never sucked dick for money, which is not even what Uba said. And so she's victim cloaked herself. So now they're like, look, she's got you. She's on the higher ground. Okay. She's been slut shamed and that's a trauma for her. So now you can't yell at her for bullying you all day.
Like, and this also speaks to the insincerity of earlier in the season where Brynn told Uba off camera, expressed some sort of concern about Uba coming off like the angry black woman. And yet Brynn is all too happy to poke and poke and poke, knowing if she knows that her friend can fly off the handle and she's concerned that her friend may wind up looking like the quote unquote angry black woman. Why are you giving her an assist? Because that's what you've been doing this whole season, and especially this vacation.
Yeah. So now Rebecca comes in and she's like, everyone needs to eat. OK, I want you to eat this pizza. And they're like, that's a record. Damn it. Just very stressed out. All right. No one's eaten. Everyone's been drinking a lot. So the food's here. So whenever you're ready, you're eating Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Ow, my teeth.
If you can't eat the one you want the one you eat.
So
the girls start laughing, basically. And Uba's like, get out of my room, you fucking bitch. This is dysfunctional, isn't it? I can't believe it. And so Aaron's like, just drink this wine. You can diffuse it in 5 seconds. And she's like, I don't want to diffuse it. She goes, but you'll feel better. So she's like, okay, well, first of all, I don't care for Bryn, but I'll do it for the sake of everyone else.
Right. So so then Bryn is like being silly again. She's like, let's go tell your son, Jenna. Let's go tell your son, Jess. Let's go tell them. Oh, maybe she isn't. Sorry.
She's still being goofy again. No,
she's like,
still
let's tell your kids. By the way, let's tell all your kids that you guys all sucked dick for your job. And you all don't fucking get it. My kids are going to see this one day.
So now she's worked herself up and now she's crying because now she's talking about how someday she'll have kids. But she doesn't have the kids now, but they're going to see this one day. And I'm like, well, they're going to see the whole season too, by the way. There's a lot for them to be cringing over.
Yeah, they'll see that nobody said anything that you're accusing them of and crying and having a histrionic fit anyway.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
Welcome to The Offensive Line. You guys, on this podcast, we're going to make some picks, talk some shit, and hopefully make you some money in the process. I'm your host, Annie Hagar. So here's how this show's going to work, okay? We're going to run through the weekly slate of NFL and college football matchups, breaking them down into very serious categories like no offense. No offense, Travis Kelce, but you got to step up your game if Pat Mahomes is saying the Chiefs need to have more fun this year. We're also handing out a series of awards and making picks for the top storylines surrounding the world of football. Awards like the He May Have a Point Award for the wide receiver that's most justifiably bitter. Is it Brandon Ayuk, T. Higgins, or Devontae Adams? Plus, on Thursdays, we're doing an exclusive bonus episode on Wondery Plus, where I share my fantasy football picks ahead of Thursday Night Football and the weekend's matchups. Your fantasy league is as good as locked in. Follow The Offensive Line on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can access bonus episodes and listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
So Raquel's just like, stop it, just stop. And she's like, no, I'm dealing with shit. So she goes into, I'm in support groups about sexual assault, you know, and now you want to say I suck dick. I'm in support groups trying to deal with shit that happened to me and you want to go there. And ooh, and this is where she goes. And by the way, and everybody in this episode says this, I'm not doubting one thing about what Bryn says Absolutely about not. Her sexual assault. That would never even cross my mind that she would lie about that. But she is now using it as a weapon against somebody, which is bad enough. And then she takes it here. And Uba knows this. Uba knows. And Jenna goes, she does? And she goes, yeah. Before BravoCon, I fucking called Uba. And I was like, I was fucking raped. And I'm still dealing with this. And Uba knows this. So now I have this 6-foot petulant toddler being like, she sucks dick for work. And
so when you hear this, you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
You know, because the thing is this. If she said, like, you know, I'm triggered with these sort of comments when they come my way because I have this in my past and it's like really traumatic. It always digs up this thing. Fully would get it. But she doesn't just say that. She's basically saying, and Uba knew this and Uba still decided to say it. And so this is why Uba is a terrible person. And she's basically broadcasting it to the world. But so it's horrifying. You just, you're like, oh my God. Cause I think that if I remember correctly, she talked about her sexual assault earlier this season and it's terrible. It's like the worst thing that someone could go through. And, you know, it also really does kind of like make a lot of what goes on in Bryn's life. Like what the things that she talks about, like things make sense and you're like, oh gosh. So when you hear this, you're like, oh my goodness, this is like really terrible what she's going through right here. And it is really actually very insensitive of Uba that Uba, knowing this information, would still like voluntarily hit Bryn's triggers like that.
Because if this was true, Uba's not just being mean, she's using someone's sexual assault against them. You know,
yeah.
And that's really, really fucking low.
Yeah.
Now, of course, when she said that, I said bullshit. I didn't believe this for 2 seconds. I don't, you know, Bryn's so full of it.
Meanwhile,
and also, like, this is another thing that Bryn does constantly. And it's a part of her playbook. Whereas if she's not getting the reaction she wants, she ups the ante. you know? So she's been in there in histrionics, what, for 15 minutes probably in showtime, in real time. She's in there going on and on and on, and everybody's just telling her, be quiet, stop, stop. And so she's not getting what she wants. No one's going to yell at Uba. There's no one screaming at Uba. So what does she do? She's using her rape against me. She's using my rape against me. Yikes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And she tells us, you know, when I was going to tell my friends, I didn't want it to be like that, but it, like, you know, it was just out of anger to prove a point. But like, this is why the Jeff Lewis thing upset me. I don't even remember what the Jeff Lewis thing was. It was like, he said something.
He suggested that she was getting money from somewhere else, meaning probably some rich sugar daddy, after her first season of bragging about dating billionaires exclusively.
Yes. So she's like, it's not just an insult. It's because of the fact that I'm dealing with something. So I don't want any like fucking low blows that aren't true, but let alone about something that I'm still like wake up in the middle of the night and can't breathe over. So it's like really kind of gutting, right? And so she's just like crying and she's like, I'm not okay after everything I've been through. She, you know, and they're all hugging and like Raquel is like crying in the confessional. She's talking about how her heart is broken for her. It's too common a story, which she's absolutely right about. And Jenna's talking about like what a violation like that is the worst thing that can happen to a woman. And she just, Jenna's saying that she just can't imagine Uba would make a comment like that knowing this information. And Jenna says that she would have thought that this was something that was sacred and you just would never cross that line.
Okay, so now Raquel's just like, I can't even look at Uba. So people have all believed Brynn again. So now Uba comes up to Brynn and she's like, can I talk to you? Because Uba has just been told, go make up with Brynn, right?
Yeah.
So she doesn't know that Brynn has just dropped this bomb. So she's going to try it. So she's like, can I talk to you? Let's sit out. Let's sit down. And Jenna's crying. Just be nice. Just be nice to her. So then outside, Uba's like, you know, look, I'd like to apologize. What I said, I didn't mean that. And she goes, well, what did you say that you didn't mean? And she says, whatever it is about you, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. And she goes, no, you said that I sucked a dick to get a job.
It was like, no, I didn't say that.
Didn't.
So Aaron's like, maybe Uba didn't realize while she was saying it that this is a pain point for Brynn. Like when she didn't realize saying a mother dying from cancer was a pain point for me. And so Jessel's like,
no, wait, hold on. I'm sorry, Aaron. This is also why Uba's flying off, because they used that against her and made her try to look like a monster when she said that stuff in front of Aaron. Could that have been more sensitive? Of course. But guess who else lost their mother? Uba. What do you think she was talking about when she was saying you sometimes you lose your family? Sometimes, I mean, it's just like, could she have been more sensitive? Yes, but I can also see why she's being hypersensitive to being accused of all this stuff constantly.
And to Aaron's credit, I thought, like, you know, Aaron was triggered and she went off and she cried and Uba went in and then Aaron was like, this is why I'm crying. It was like a normal and mature, you know, exchange and resolution. So Jessel has a big important announcement, which is, I'm doing COBS because this is stressful shit. I was like, you're not the only one, as I dive into my Jenny's ice cream.
So we go back to the apology and Uba's just like, look, I'm here to apologize, okay? I'm just here to apologize. And she goes, well, then do it properly. She goes, Brynn, I didn't say that you did that. And she goes, okay, then I'm good. I'm good then. Like, I just accused you of using my rape against me, so I'm not letting you off that easy. So gotta let this all play out. So she's like, it's performative. It's not real. Like, she said this and I know that she's not sorry.
Brynn talking about performative is hilarious. So Aaron is like, can you just say I'm sorry for insinuating? It was like, I did. And Brynn's like, no, not for insinuating. Say I'm sorry for saying that you suck dick to get a job. It was like, well, I'm not saying that because I didn't say that. So Brynn's like, see, there you go. So Uba just like walks away. She's like, I've had enough. And Brynn's like, thanks for making this easy. And she's like, go fuck yourself.
So Rebecca's like, don't worry, she will apologize. She will.
Rebecca, you're talking to the wall right now.
Oh, darn it. I'm sorry. Just because someone faced me in the right direction.
It's like I must have had like tears of Gorilla Glue or something like that. Like these eyelids are not opening up. I've over squinted.
So they're basically exhausted, right? They're like, look, this is so poor Brynn. Everyone's so sorry for you, Brynn. Let's just all go to bed and maybe we can heal from the evil Uba overnight. So they all start going to bed. So, dun, 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 10:56 p.m. Knock on the door from a producer camera guy. And Raquel's like, oh, you're taking my mic? Okay, well, it's cameras go down time.
Mm-hmm. And so Aaron's like, this is when shit gets real. As in, Abe sold another one of my Bitcoins. Like, what the fuck, man? So then Raquel is like, the whole night was just insane. And Jessel says, well, I go into Uber's room because I feel like it's important to share with her what Bryn told us. And so she does that. And then Raquel says that
they were something? Like, I also love that she did this off camera. I mean, what housewife does that? Normally they wait to have a camera to tattletale. And Jessel just went as a friend after the cameras were down to be like, listen, this is what's going on, you know?
Mm-hmm. So Uba loses her mind because Uba's like, I did not know that. And now I'm being set up to look like the biggest asshole that's been on Bravo. So she just starts screaming. And it's hard to even hear what she's saying. But like, she tells us, you know, Jessel told me, like, Uba, why are you speaking to Bryn this way when you know that she was raped? And I said, what? I don't know that at all. So Uba's like, you know, I'm sure also like, Uba is like, first of all, mortified because she didn't realize this. And then she's also probably feels it's probably like triggered all sorts of multifaceted emotions. And so now she's really just like,
well, yeah, I mean, first your friend was raped. Screaming. So that's not great because you feel for your friend. And then, you know, you're also like, oh, my God, now she's trying to make it look like I'm using her rape against her, which is really what's going on. And she can't take anymore. I mean, she's just like done. Like, how many times do you get to fucking do this to one person? So she basically has a breakdown and she's in the corner shaking like a ball. And this is as it's described by the other ladies. And Uba is saying, I just want her to tell me when she told me that so I can remember before I deny it. Like, just tell me when you said it. But she does not seem to have known this at all. Like, I'm buying that she didn't know it, you know? So then Uba is like freaking out at Bryn. She's like, Bryn, you said on camera you were raped and I knew about it. This bitch, are you kidding me?
And Jessel's like, Mount Vesuvius just erupted. And I was like, I put the plug on it. So Uba is, she is like, she's seeing red. She's like, I'm going to kill this girl. She said, I knew she was raped. She said that. And she just like, she goes into her room. And then Raquel is saying how like Uba came right up to their faces and starts screaming like, if you believe this. And Jenna was like, okay, calm down. Like, apparently Uba was just like livid about this and right in their faces.
So then Jenna's saying, you know, she's just at the core of her being just trying to convince me and just make sure I understand that she didn't know. So then Raquel is saying, you know, and then she proceeds to tell us, may Allah strike me down and kill my firstborn if I did this. And no one would say something like that if they weren't telling the truth. So now the ladies are starting to believe Uba. So Aaron is like, well, Aaron is just talking about it. She's like, how would Uba know that she was raped? Like, I didn't even know that she was raped. And Raquel says, well, this is fucking crazy, this whole thing. And Bryn comes down. She goes, now what are we talking about? She's saying she didn't know. Oh, right. She didn't know.
And yeah, so then Aaron talks about how Bryn, there's all this commotion and I don't know what the hell's going on. And Bryn starts telling her the story about what she went through. And Bryn says, I told Uba, I said, you know, I got fucking raped 3 years ago. And Uba said, I will get a car and come get you. And she goes, I don't lie. And we heard the sort of different versions of the story over the course of the season that like there was a point where Bryn was really low and Uba got her a car and like propped her up around BravoCon. And so Bryn's like, tells us, you know, last year before BravoCon, there was a suicide attempt with a loved one and she was really upset. And she and Uba were really close, and that Uba was one of the first people that Bryn called. And she was like ranting and being like all this stuff. And she's screaming and crying. And she's saying things like, why does this keep happening to me? Like my childhood, my thing. And she was just saying, she basically went through this list of everything that had happened. And she's like, I was so hysterical. So I don't know if she remembered, but in my mind, she knew.
In my mind, she knew. And that's pretty much all you need to know about Bryn right there. She can cry. She can throw her fits. She can list off every single thing she's ever been through. But that, I think, illustrates Bryn perfectly. In my mind, she knew. No, you know you're caught. You know your ass is caught. and you see how Uba's reacting, and now you're going to try and reel it in your confessional. Fucking mm-hmm. unbelievable. So now the producers are trying to calm people down, and Uba's still losing it. She's like, I can't. Are you insane? Like, she's crying. She's sobbing. She's yelling, this bitch is lying. You son of a bitch. You fucking lying. And she starts going towards her room screaming, you psycho bitch. And she's like, and you told Jenna not to tell me this? Like, I'm supposed to sleep with this? And she's telling, this is to Raquel. She says, and you told Jenna not to tell me this? Like I'm supposed to sleep with this information? Are you insane? So they're like, damn. And Jessel says, I've never seen her this way. You know, she's throwing up. And Uba is just sobbing to the cameras. And she's like, only three people know the truth, God, me, and her. And I wish I knew what I did to her for her to do something like this.
Right. So Uba leaves because they basically take her to a hotel and Jessel goes with her. Good friend. That's a real friend right there, everyone. And Jessel basically says, like, it's a really impossible situation because Bryn shared a trauma. But in the present, Uba is experiencing her own trauma. So it's not like I value one friendship over the other. It's literally in the moment I wanted to make sure that Uba felt supported.
So now the ladies are gathering the next morning, right?
No, not quite yet, because the producer says, what happens next? So Uba leaves everything. Everything seems to settle down. It's now 12:17, and the girls basically go to Jenna's room, and Bryn walks in, and the only people who are not there are Jessel and Uba. And Aaron says that Bryn starts talking about her story, this like terrible thing that happened. Well, I guess her story about telling Uba. And Jenna says, she's like, the whole thing breaks my heart. It was like a little kid looking for someone to comfort her. And so Sai tells us that she said, Bryn, did Uba know about what happened to you?
And that's when Bryn says, come to think of it, maybe she didn't clock it. And Aaron's like, yeah, everything I thought about Bryn changed in that moment immediately. So fucking Bryn knew she went too far and started trying to reel it in. So yeah. Sai's like, yeah, not clocking something like that versus accusing her of knowing. Yeah, those are two different things. So this is when the ladies are like, nah. And Raquel says, yeah, I'm not doubting her experience, but it's clear to me that her story is just not lining up. You know, I checked out within a couple of minutes, and the producer says, why? And she says, because I realized that she was lying, you know? Mm-hmm.
And Aaron is like, I will bet my life on the fact that Uba did not know. And I will tell you that this is not in her character. She's a lot of things, but this she did not know about. And Sai is saying, like, we're at a point where we just don't know what to do. She's like, we're just going to go to bed. But then she says, like, we start whispering and talking, and she comes back in the room and she's like, hi, guys. And basically Bryn like comes back to be like, are you guys mad at me or whatever? Because like at this point, Bryn now realizes that she's massively fucked up and she's now lost the support of all her friends.
And Sai's like, yeah, her mistake was normally she goes and talks to one or two people and then gets them going. But this time she had us all there and she couldn't spin it. You know, we were all there watching this. And so Aaron's like, and that's when everything changed in this group of girls. So... yeah. The next morning. So we see the producers kind of sitting around. This is before shooting time. And Bryn's just lying on the couch with the producers, talking and laughing, going over the schedule for the day. And it's awkward as hell watching her just act like nothing happened. You know? Like, oh, here we are for another fun day of horseback riding.
Yeah, and they're all kind of like shocked. And so Bryn's going to leave. And she decides she's going to leave, and the producer's like, okay. And by the way, there's also a screenshot where the producer had texted, Bryn, or was texting with Bryn, and the producer said, hey, just FYI, we have had around the clock security at the villa for this trip, and our female security guard will be inside the villa for tonight, which is again problematic as fuck. You know, like, oh, gotta watch out for violent Uba. She's just gonna come and invade the villa and attack Bryn, when it's like Bryn is the one who is weaponizing this horrific chapter in her life against Uba. It's just so sickening.
But she's also texting, like, I wanna go. You know, so they're like, okay, we found a 12:30 flight to JFK. And Bryn's like, yeah, I was like, I've got to get out of here. And they're like, okay, we'll make it happen. You know, so I wake up the next morning and that's that. So she's just telling the ladies, I'm out of here. You know, So Sai knows, she's like, Brynn knows she fucked up, you know, and she can never just take accountability. Like, I'm so sorry. I mean, say something. But Brynn's like, we have horseback riding, we have things to do, and like, let's just get it done and figure out stuff later.
Yeah. And so I was like, yeah, just have a fun, super fun day. She's like, yeah, let's just like have a fun day. And Brynn's like, yeah, I can do like a 180, man. Like, I'm actually like a fucking psycho in that regard. And Sai's like,
well, you're honest sometimes.
And so Brynn is like, but she's like, I just need to leave. So basically the trip ends early. So Brynn leaves and everything. And Jenna says, like, I get it. She just wants things to be normal. That's her coping. And, her waking up in the morning and saying, like, the best thing for me to do right now is pretend it didn't happen. Like, that's how she gets through life.
Right. So now the ladies sit outside. Brynn leaves, but the other ladies sit outside. And they're talking about Jessel. And, like, have you guys talked to Jessel or Uba? And Aaron's like, well, Jessel called me a bunch of times this morning, but I'm like mentally not well from this. Like, I couldn't even eat anything. And so they're talking about how stressed they are about it. And Jenna's like, I think we can all agree, though, that it's pretty clear that Uba didn't know about any of this stuff. And they're like, No,
she did not know. And then Aaron, of course, is like, now you know I didn't call you poor, right, Jenna? Right? Might as well relitigate all the lies that Brynn told. Whew, finally off the hook for that one.
Even though you've insinuated it like 10 times on camera to us, fucking Aaron.
And Raquel's like, or that she was in on the prank. I mean, look, we have to look at it all differently. They're all like, checking off their list of arguments they can retroactively win now.
So basically, we get that all of the women now believe Brynn is a complete compulsively lying crazy person. Like, they're just like, fuck her. Like, everybody is now backed away from Brynn and just completely dropped her in their minds. Like, they're just like, she's done, you know? So then we get one of the best editing pieces of the season, which is the Brynn lying montage. And it's so good. I mean, it's just so good. And I'm almost jealous of the person who got that job of like, just sit here all season and collect Brynn's fucking lies. Thanks.
Yeah, it felt very much like Kaiser Soze, like the Kaiser Soze reveal. We just go through all the times where Brynn just started saying things that were kind of like at the crux of lots of controversies and or the beginning of rumors and gossip or feuds. And we hear the cheese thing, and then like, it's so weird. He like wasn't wearing his ring, and then he's like, I don't know what's going on. Like talking about, I think, Pavitt from that season, from that year. And then Brynn talking about the Connecticut guy and Uba's life. She's just going through all of it. And it is a pretty amazing montage.
I mean, it's pretty much every storyline. It's every point of discord on this show that's just Brynn lying. Now, they cut out the parts where Aaron was with her most of those times helping her, because, of course, her henchman's going to get away, but I'm going to have to get over it. So, and of course, the audience also knows all this, right? The audience has seen her doing this, but hopefully seeing it all cut together like this, people will finally fucking get it, you know? But it does sometimes take a good finale to like just squish it all into your brain and be like, wow, were they setting this up the whole time and just kind of letting Brynn go?
This is kind of like a very, very dark and gritty, sort of, what's the right word? Companion piece to like the reality of Antis and Monica of it all, right? Like that was like the high camp, silly, low stakes version. This is kind of it's much sadder when it swirls around, you know, big trauma and like someone who has really, you know, been damaged in their life through whatever childhood sadness. So I don't know how to say it in a nice way. I feel like I'm just making it sound terrible. But Sai basically is like, you know, she changed the situation to work in her favor. And then she says it in a way that sounds so unbelievable that people will take her side. And Aaron's like, I believe that the truth always comes out, like with Bitcoin sales. And Jenna is like, she's like, yeah, last night, the conversation that we had in the room when we were all together, she went on about the story. I believe her. I believe something happened. And we all believe, like you said, Ronnie, like they said, like everyone says, we all believe that Brynn is the victim of this horrific incident. Like we 100% believe it. But what we don't believe are the various stories she tells in her life when she spreads gossip and the disruptions she creates.
Right. And so Jenna's like, well, look, clearly something went down and she's hurt, you know, but I feel confused and I also feel a little taken advantage of. And Sai's like, you know, I believe it too, but I think she also lied so much as a child to cover up a lot of her trauma that it bleeds into her adulthood, which I thought was
100%.
Yeah, pretty right on. And I also like that kind of compassion coming from them, because one thing I was thinking while I watched this, besides fucking Bryn, you fucking compulsive liar, you're finally caught. I mean, there was definitely that part. But the other part of it, even through to the end, because it just, it doesn't get better for Bryn through the end of this episode. But even through that, I was thinking, oh my God, this poor thing, like, she sucks. And she deserves a lot of what's coming to her, but this is going to be hard, especially for someone emotionally unstable as Bryn.
Yeah.
And so sensitive to, like, oh, Jeff Lewis said some joke about me on his show. I mean, this is going to really hit hard, because you know how Housewives fans are. I mean, the public in general isn't great, but that's when you piss off the Housewives fans, the shit that they're probably saying all over her Instagram, she's not going to live this down for a long time. And that's really difficult for a kind of a weak. It's difficult for anybody, but I think it's going to be really, really hard for her. And I don't love that.
You know, it's hard with people like this. And I draw a strange comparison to James Kennedy, too, where we hear the context of their lives and your heart kind of breaks for them, because, you know, they had so much pain. They had so much like trauma, so much damage in their childhood that really informs their present. And so your heart breaks. And then you see them doing things, and like you said, it doesn't excuse your behavior in the present. And so then we get mad at them. But then you also, like, part of me also feels like I'm just perpetuating a cycle, but she's perpetuating a cycle too. Like, she's doing things, we get mad at her, and it makes me feel like whatever cycle is going on in her life, it just keeps going, you know? And I just feel like it's so sad. And I think that's why I came away from this episode. Like, yes, it's dark. My heart breaks for the pain that she's gone through. My heart breaks also for the pain that Uba had to go through in the situation. Let's not forget that. But like, the sadness is like, this is just like a sad person who is going to go through this cycle over and over and over again. Just the way we see it happening with James Kennedy, someone who's like, will try to maybe break out of it, but they can't. They just can't do it. It's like, it's really like, it's a sad commentary on the human condition, which sounds very lofty, but it's true. It really is.
So, basically they're just commiserating about all of the stuff that's gone down. So they're like, well, we have to do main titles in a couple of days. What are we going to do? And Jenna's like, are we still, I just thought we wouldn't have an opening anymore. Can they just use puppets?
Can we just have Rebecca Minkoff stand on screen and bump into things?
Guys, not funny. Okay. I've missed out on 2 days of this vacation because of my squint.
Rebecca, you just answered the iron. I'm sorry.
I thought it was one of my wicked handbags.
So I was like, listen, she's going to be calling Aaron the most. Okay, so watch out. And she's going to try and rectify the situation and act like nothing happened, which, beep, like right on cue, it's Aaron. It's Bryn texting Aaron. And she's like, she texted me. Are you getting out of here today? And Raquel's like, yeah, because she's concerned that we're all staying and she's not. And she says, yep, I've seen it before. It's like narcissism 101, that she's concerned. She's only concerned about that and not about the madness that she unleashed, you know? And it's not whether Uba's okay. You know, that was not a text out of concern. That was only concern for herself.
Yeah, which is what's so fucked up. And please, with my little rant about the human condition, et cetera, please don't confuse that to like, we gotta help out Bryn and like show more compassion to her, when like Uba is right now the one who I think is the victim in this situation. And let's not forget that.
So, okay. So now Aaron's like, yeah, I do kind of feel bad for her. And so I was like, well, I mean, she has issues. She needs to talk to somebody. The end. And so they're all getting ready to go. And so Uba comes and they just hug Uba. And Raquel's like, I'm so sorry. I did not know what was going on. And Jessel's saying, oh, you know, it's okay. Like, we get how it looks with the optics and stuff. And Aaron says, I'm sorry for assuming that was true. And Jenna's like, you want to talk a little bit? And she's like, I'm just worried to go back to last night. And she goes, well, you don't have to. You know, we truly believe that you did not know. None of us believe that you knew. And Aaron's like, yeah, you know, when she called you to tell you something going on that she had said it, she was like, but, and an hour later, she goes, yeah, maybe she didn't clock it. And Uba's like, She just looks at them like, you fucking kid. Of course she did, you know?
Yeah. And Jenna's like, I'm sure if you had clocked it, I'm like, I'm sure you would have circled back and been like, hey, can we talk about what you mentioned to me on the phone? It wouldn't have been just like a passing comment. It would have been something that like Uba would have like stopped at and like had a more of a discussion about. And Uba's like, yeah, the outside people, they're going to say what they're going to say. And they know things or they don't know things. As you know, the fact is there's three of you that were out there believing that I knew this. And she's trying to leverage how I said she slept with someone, how she's trying to put you against me. And they're like, yeah, we know. And Rebecca's like, there's no doubt in her mind, Uba. And Uba's basically, it's actually a really nice moment. It's so rare that you see like full redemption so quickly on these shows.
And she was like, well, I'm glad they finally see it, you know, and they have integrity because they could just take Bryn's side. And there was one, and Uba says, well, the most important thing is she okay? And Raquel's like, she's okay. And I was like, wow. And that's just what Raquel said. Like, Bryn didn't even say, is Uba okay? She didn't even ask about Uba, but Uba's like, is Bryn okay? Even though she's been hurt by this person over and over again. Mm-hmm. And so Jenna's like, yeah, there's something more going on for her. She's shaking. She's crying. And I think she just realized she fucked up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's time to head to the airport.
Mm-hmm. And now this is where they're all saying like, oh, well, you know, Bryn's not a horrible human being, blah, blah, blah. And Aaron says a lot of stuff about like, well, she just messed up. So now they go. Now we have the opening credit shoot. This is so meta that now like we are. Like about like the episode is now about like how are they all going to react when they shoot the opening credits on this TV show. So they all are getting ready. And Raquel tells us that when they flew back, Uba was talking about how scared of what Mr. Connecticut was going to think and how she could explain this with that. And she was afraid that she was going to look crazy to him. And so she's all concerned. And Raquel's also spiraling because she's realizing that she can still be manipulated after all these years where she thought she had grown out of that.
So then we see Raquel's end card as she poses and does her like, dun, 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 dun. Raquel and Mel still haven't made it down to Puerto Rico, but they have been to the Hamptons where they're buying a home close to Aaron and Gabe. Gabe. Mm-hmm. Gabe. And
Gabe.
So then Cy goes to talk to Aaron and she's like, are you talking to Bryn? She's like, I texted her this morning. I was like, are you okay? And she was like, no.
Great story. Great story, Aaron. You really got a lot of charisma telling that one.
I don't think Bryn is a bad person. Good people do bad things too. And I think it comes from a place of pain. Oh, really? You think? So Aaron is done with pranks, but not surprises. She surprised Abe with a baby bump. And the baby's gender is a secret they're keeping together.
Their baby's gender is Bitcoin.
It's a Dogecoin.
It's a Doge. So Sai's like, yeah, that was pretty fucked up. That was bad. And I think it's like maybe she's starting to realize. And Sai's like, yeah, I don't see Bryn as the same person. That's sad.
I mean, Bryn was so fun and bubbly, but it's like things have changed. You know what? It's like, have you ever been to a house with no lunch? You never go back to that house again. Bryn is a house with no lunch. She's a lunchless house. There's nothing good for me there.
Sai is still on her Zen journey and has even taken up meditation. She's better at taking deep breaths, but still struggles with taking bullshit.
So then now it's Aaron and Jessel. And Jessel's like, I mean, I'm worried. I texted her. I mean, it's just Bryn, you know, just being Bryn, like pleasant. But does she remember what happened? I mean, I hope she's okay. And she says that she doesn't think Bryn understands or is aware of the gravity of this. And she just hasn't had the opportunity to be in front of Bryn and to kind of explain the context of everything. So Bryn still doesn't know that everybody knows that she's just a flat out compulsive liar now and that they've all turned against her. She's just like, whatever, coming to work.
Yeah, I don't think so. So Jessel and Pavitt recently celebrated their 10th wedding anniversary and Pavitt got her a gift. It was a bon mi, but it wasn't a baby girl. So then we have like Jenna and in talking about like she has tenderness towards Bryn and she has tenderness towards Uba. She cares about them both and hopes that people give Bryn some grace and she didn't do it maliciously. And I don't know. And I hope that she didn't. And then it says, Jenna has made room in her home for Cass and her kids. Her heart is full, just like her bush. I was like, whoa, okay. All right, we'll just throw that right in this very serious ending. Okay, great.
Right. So now it's Uba, and she's like, I hope I have Jesus and Muhammad and God. And the whole weekend, I was literally just healing and taking care of myself and thanking God that I'm Uba Hassan. And I think I'm in a very good place because I'm actually sending love to the other side. And so I was like, but what if she talks to you? She's like, I already asked them not to be mic'd, which was very smart. She's like, I'm not wearing a mic in this shit. So she says she showed up to work because they worked really hard for this show, and she's not going to let down the girls because of Bryn. But she does not want Bryn having a chance to be like, oh, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And I'm sorry specifically about saying dress barn and then not take responsibility for everything else. And she's like, if she did that, I would not be held responsible for whatever I did.
So then that Bryn is arriving and stuff, and she's like, hey, she's like, it's just like a weird vibe, like a weird, awkward vibe. But like, I'm like very much about like work, and like, this is like work, and like, we got to do the shoot and like, suck it up and whatever. It's like, Bryn, maybe choose different words after that entire fight. Thank you very much.
So, Uba, I wish I had a groan sound effect. So Uba's
towards
like,
me, I or towards Bryn, or towards both?
Towards you. Towards both, actually. So Uba's like, I can't even hate Bryn. Like, if I hold grudges for her, I would never trust, and she would cut my wings. So I forgive her for me to move on, and for me to live my life with wings like pigeon. So then she does her, you know, beautiful movements or whatever for her photo shoot. And she is moving forward with fibroid surgery, and her recovery plan involves lots of foot rubs from Oliver. So now Bryn and the ladies are all taken to the set, and they're on, Bryn and Uba are on opposite sides of the, you know, lineup. And they have to do their final poses. And Bryn's like, Uba doesn't seem bothered. I mean, Uba doesn't seem upset. And everyone's just like, oh, my hair and makeup. Must be nice. Like, I'm over here and I want to die inside. Nobody gives a fuck. The one thing I learned is that these girls really don't give a fuck. Everyone say cheese. Yeah. Enjoy that hole you dug.
Yeah.
Dummy.
Bryn spent some time in France learning how to cook, but she swears she's done stirring the pot. And
I hope she learned better than she did chess. I will never forget that scene when she's like, I'm playing chess, so. And then she lost like in one move.
They just show her like do like move one pawn, and then the guy she's playing with just like sends his hand like, good game.
Yeah, exactly. So Aaron, you know, they finish a shoot, and Aaron says bye to her, and Aaron gets the last line because she's inexplicably the lead of this show. And again, I just want to point out one more time, we made it through a whole finale again of Aaron not taking any shit from anybody for all the shit she stirred. So she owes a huge thank you bouquet to Bryn. So she's like, you know, Bryn should still be okay. I mean, there's still a path for all of us if Bryn can really own this. Cackling hags.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think Bryn needs to focus on herself right now. And, you know, God bless. But now we have our reunion coming up, which looks like it'll be quite something. Jenna wears a robe and a turban, which is great. And we'll see how this all shakes out. I am preparing to cringe through a lot of it.
Yeah. Amen. Well, you know, compelling last episode, weird show.
Yeah, I mean, it was something.
It definitely gave us a lot to think about and a lot to talk about. So thanks. We'll still be talking about you for the next 5 weeks of your reunion, or however long you decide this reunion needs. But we'll be back next week. Thanks so much for being here with us, everybody. We sure love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Catherine DiBernardo has our hardo.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Etchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas. Jamie, she has no last namey. You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Hava Nagila Weber. Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
We could all learn from Jennifer Kearns.
She's our kind of mess. It's Jennifer Messer.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Knock, knock, knocking on Katie Manock's door.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Bringing the funk, it's Leslie Plunkett.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D. Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
We love her on the rocks, it's Melissa Cox.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson. Tastier than Flanderson, it's Rachel Manderson.
Have a heck of a time with Rebecca.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
She's got a leg up, it's Beth Ani.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony. Junie. My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Shadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Put on a kettle for Rebecca Weddle.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony. Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.